Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Dad asked me, so you're preaching the same sermon over and over? I said, no, not this. I have two. No, I'm just joking. But this is the first time this is the message that I wanted to preach at our church. And the Lord had laid on my heart for our church. And I did give some of these thoughts on Tuesday night at Elgin. And I didn't actually preach the whole message that I have. And so I want to do that tonight. I want to say thank you. I think I'm saying thank you over and over. But, you know, I'm looking for him. I don't know where he is. I think maybe not for sure. I saw him this morning across the auditorium. Once in a while we'll open the mail in Madagascar. And there'll be a letter and a picture from Brent Neimeyer. And he'll tell us what's going on at the farm and how many goats you have and different things there. And you know what a blessing that is. And I'll pick up the phone once in a while, and it'll be Brother Jeff or Brother Scott Williams, someone getting up in the time. I know the time difference is a killer, but these guys who are working at those hours and thinking about us, I'll get emails from people in the church. And I want to say thank you for what you mean to us. By the way, those aren't Cuban cigars on the table back there. I didn't think about that. People have been almost, I don't know how people have asked this. So are these Cubans? I'm like, no, they're spices. But Brother Fitzgerald asked me that tonight. Brother Jason tried to smoke one, but I went skiing in Santa Fe, and I asked my friends, I said, do you go snowboarding? They said, nope, and we don't smoke pot either. I appreciate Brother Jason and everything he does for our finances and what he means to this church. Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, and verse number 18. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 18. And the Bible says tonight, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two brethren, James and Zebedee, and John his brother in a ship, with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And I want to preach tonight on Jesus' calling. Lord, I want to thank you for this church, for the people sitting in these pews, and how we love them, and how we appreciate them. Just the people taking the different missionaries out to eat and buying the things for the gift baskets, and who's not short of money these days, who couldn't use that money for themselves and for their kids. I appreciate them, and I want to be a blessing. You know my heart, Lord God. I don't want anything but be a blessing to these people, and encourage them and for this conference. And I pray you give us a wonderful service, and the Holy Spirit, you would have control. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember the time sitting out at Cedar River Baptist Camp when I was a young kid, and Dad preached a message from John chapter 5 on no man to care. And the story about the man that was by the pool of Bethesda there, and how he said, I have no man. And God started working on my heart at that message about missions. And of course, every missions conference, every missions, we've had it for years at this church. And the Lord always worked on my heart. And I remember the day we were out at Mount Sim Revival Grounds, I remember Brother Danny Reynolds and Brother Don Reardon, and how they would get up and they would go running together early in the morning before we went to that camp that week. And every morning they'd go running and they would pray and pray and pray together and pray together for us teenagers and for God to do a work in our hearts. The year before, Nathan Lockwood got saved at that camp and turned our youth group around during that time. So God does wonderful things, and they would pray and they prayed and prayed and prayed, and God did something in my heart on a Tuesday night or a Thursday night. I can't remember whether it was Tuesday night or Thursday night at that camp. I remember the night when it felt like this story. Jesus came by and called me to the mission field and said, I want you to be a missionary. And then I went on to Bible college. And I thank God for the day in my life when God called me to be a missionary. And I believe He does call, a specific call, a special call. I believe that's the truth. I believe he has a special place for everybody. No one is more important and no one is less significant. Everyone has a place in God's work and puts them in the perfect place they're supposed to be. And so this message tonight is not just necessarily about being called to leave where you are and be a missionary, but it's a message that would apply to all of us tonight, I believe. And so I want to preach tonight on this thought, Jesus is calling. I want you to notice, number one, that Jesus called them to be fishers of men. And look at verse 18, it says, "For they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You see, Jesus is not willing that any should perish, the Bible says. The Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That means that the little bus kid in your area, the little kid on that comes on your bus in the morning, Jesus Christ is not willing that he or she should perish, but that he or she should come to repentance. And that's why we do what we do, don't we? That's why you men get up and you people run those routes, and you ladies, and that's why we have the ABC class on Sunday mornings, and that's why we do what we do. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish. You know, it doesn't matter to God. It really doesn't matter to God. It makes no difference to God. Your social standing, where you live. You know, let me tell you something tonight. The little children that I saw on the road, side of the road in Madagascar, who have nothing to do but sit on the side of the road all day and wait for an occasional vehicle to pass by to get us entertainment, who may eat once or twice a day, who do not have the clothes we have, do not know how to read, do not know science, do not know mathematics, know nothing about internet or phones or anything like that. God is just as, they are just as important to him, and he is not willing that any of them should perish, just like the souls in America who enjoy all that we enjoy. And we know that. We wouldn't have this conference, would we, if we didn't know that. He is not willing. The Bible, the gospel we preach is a whosoever gospel. God did not set aside some for salvation and some to be lost. No, no, no. God is not willing. And so he gave his son, didn't he? And Jesus gave his disciples, didn't he? And the Bible talks in 2 Peter chapter 3 about how God, Jesus, is waiting and how that this time period is for salvation for those lost souls. Notice about these men that they were not yet what God intended them to be. They were fishers. He said, that's not what I created you to be. I created you to be fishers of men. Why? Why? Because the only eternal impact we can have during our lives is people. That's it. The only eternal impact we can have is people. The cars are going to stay, the clothes are going to stay, the iPhones are going to stay, and thank God for all those things, but they're all going to stay, but the only eternal impact is people. And this week, you will consider, we will consider, I say we, I've been praying, I've been at a missions conference at Brother Gomez's this last week and getting my heart worked on. Why? Because I'm a member of Faith Baptist Church too. And I'm going to fill out a commitment card too. And I want to give to missions too. And as I say me, I include me in this. This week we will consider making an investment in people. People, not making an investment in Faith Promise, we're not going to just simply fill out a Faith Promise missions card tonight. We're not just going to give to a missions program and at the end of this, throughout this year. We're not just going to give to the country of Ireland, Mexico, and Iraq, and these other places. We're going to make an investment in people. People we've never met. People we've never seen, people we don't know, people we don't understand, but people that Jesus died for. And he's not willing that they should perish, but that they should come to repentance. That's what it's about. You know, people are about the same everywhere. I stopped and talked to someone just outside these doors. And I asked him about I didn't know anything. We just come back in. We don't know anything that goes on in the church. And I said, "Do you have any kids?" They said, "No, not yet." And it's just, they want children, and it's not, God hasn't given them any yet. You know, and you talk to people like that, and that's a burden, isn't it? It's a burden they carry. You know, I was just about ready to leave Madagascar, and a man who I've been working on to get saved and who came to that special day, he stopped me, and he said, Ben, he said, "Don't forget my wife and I. while you're back in America. He said, and pray for us, Ben. He said, we've been married for 11 years. And his eyes got all full of tears. And he says, and we can't have children. You know, people are the same everywhere, aren't they? They're the same. They carry the same burdens. They carry the same. They have the same heartaches. And you know, the Mountain Guys people don't just tell that to anybody. You have to develop a little bit of a relationship with them for them to say that. So this week, it's going to be about people. People, that's what it is. Number two, Jesus called them to surrender. Jesus called them to surrender. Now look at verse 20. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Look at verse 22. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now I want to say something tonight. The people in this church, I would put myself in that, I believe, I hope, but God's people are very good at sacrificially giving to God's work. The people at this church, there are people in this church who have sacrificed their time, their money, and their talents for years and years and years and years and years at this church. People sacrifice to give to missions. People sacrifice to give to a building program. People sacrifice to keep the buses rolling. People sacrifice to put on an international banquet. People sacrifice to do that. But I want to say something tonight. Surrender, sacrifice is no substitute for surrender. Sacrifice is no substitute for surrender. Sacrifice delegates a portion to God. Surrender gives God everything and gives Him total control. And that's what He wants. And that's what He wants. And it's very hard to do, isn't it? Every year for me, I remember as a boy coming to these missions conferences in the old building. And Brother Vineyard would come to the missions conferences. You guys, people remember this. And he would preach. And I remember I just started working at the dairy farm next to our house. And just started getting paid a few dollars a week from the farm at 11 years old. And when you're 11 years old and you get money, what do you want to do with it? You want to spend it, right? You want to buy things. You want to buy, Brother Mike, we always just stop on bus and I wanted to buy those football helmets and the machines and try to get all the teams in the league. We'd all stop at that store down there, Eagle or whatever it was, on the bus. You have things you want to buy. And I remember coming to the missions conference, like many of you, and we would sit down, I'd sit there, and I'd see the presentations, and I would hear Brother Vineyard preach and talk about the need for missions and all those things, and God would start working in my heart, and the battle would begin, wouldn't it? And it would begin. You ought to give, Ben. I would start, you know, cutting the deal with God. You know, I'll give 25 cents. Telling God what I was going to give. And Brother Vineyard would talk about asking the Lord, "What do you want me to give? What does the Lord want you to give?" And I remember giving a little more, a little more, a little more, all as a boy. And it's the battle, isn't it? See, we're very good. You know, He didn't ask them these men. He didn't ask them to continue being fishermen and donate a portion of their fish each day so he could feed the 5,000 on the mount, right? He didn't need that, did he? He didn't need that, but he needed them. He needed them. He didn't need them to designate what they were going to give them. He said, I want you, and I want every part of you. And this whole thing of giving, whether it's ourselves or money, is very, very easy when you consider what He's done for us. Now, look at all of us will be asked to surrender possessions. The Bible knows no Christianity that's a Christianity without surrendering at least 10% minimum of our possessions of what God gives to us to God, does it? It knows nothing about that. The Christianity of this book is Christianity that involves giving back to God what He has given to us. And so all of us will be asked to surrender possessions, if you will, things of monetary value. And those things have a pull, don't they? It's amazing. It's amazing. These companies will come out with a product, and then they will spend thousands of dollars telling us why we need that product. And before long, something that we don't really need is, I got to have that. I need it. I have got to have that. And I'm the same way. Things, if I'm not careful, things will be in my mind. I want to buy that. I'd like to have that. And we look at that. They have a pull, don't they? And things are not bad. And we use things and God blesses and that's great. But they have a pull. You know, I was reading the book of Acts some, and it talks, the church in Jerusalem there, it makes a few statements about possessions. 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 That early church that God used so mightily, that early church that the Holy Spirit worked, it was talking about their possessions. Why? Because they gave themselves to God. I want you to look at real quickly at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to come back to Matthew chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We won't read the whole thing for sake of time. Look at verse 3. Talking about the churches in Macedonia. For to their power, I have a record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And that's what it is. It's about giving ourselves. Let me say, out of verse 22, there some will be asked to surrender family. The first guys, everybody in the passage, both verses there talk about all of them leaving the nets and leaving the ships. For two of them, it involved leaving the father, leaving family. Why? Because how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, I want to say something tonight. As you start, the Bible talks about Jerusalem and then Judea and Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. As we go further and further, that separation and that thing gets harder and harder. You want to pray for Brother Jason and his family going down there to Quincy. That's going to be, it's not going to Madagascar, but that's going to be new for them. It's going to be separation. It's going to be separation from Faith Addison. And they're going to be down there trying to start a church. And you ought to pray for them. And I'm going to say this tonight. If anybody tells you that it's not hard, it is hard. Okay? It's hard. It is. It's difficult. And I believe that that's really why people fear surrendering themselves totally to God, because they're afraid of what God is going to ask. And they're afraid of it. And that's okay. It's okay to be afraid, but it's not okay not to surrender. I'll never forget whenever we left for France, and the day it came, you guys remember we had that big storm right before we left, and we had that conference going, and our basement flooded. And Brother Mike, remember that? We stayed at your house, and all of our bags were packed in the basement, and they got soaked. And you remember that? And you're shaking your heads, yeah. And they had to repack, and the day came, we had to leave, and I never forget the way I felt. I was trembling. I was scared to death about leaving. I never forget sitting there with Ashley and McKenna in that airplane as we took off from Chicago O'Hare Airport. And I looked down on Chicago and how much I love this area and love Chicago. And I looked down on that, and my heart was pounding. My mouth was dry. And what was going through my head was, Ben, you are crazy. Everyone in this world is trying to get here and you're leaving. And I remember that. I remember that, and I had to, you know, but you can't, you know, it's bad if Dad is the one, you know, oh, I can't go, you know, so Ashley seemed like she was fine, the fear, it's hard, it's fearful. I'll never forget, we arrived in Geneva, Switzerland, and then a couple of men took us to the place where we were in France, not Beauville, France, that little apartment you guys came to. And they took us there, and we got there, and we were tired from the flight and everything. And they brought us that little apartment, had a little dim light, not too bright of a light there in the living room. And someone came, and they gave us a meal, and then we were there. They left. Now you're here. And I never felt so alone in all my life as I felt that night. We have a book in our home that's not as precious to us as this book. I have a Bible in my home that Dad gave me on ordination night that Brother Hiles preached out of. I have a Bible in my home that Brother Vineyard used to marry Ashley and myself. Those are very precious to us. But I have to say that probably those are not, outside the Bible, those two are not the most precious book in our home. We have a book in our home, and it's the book that the people in this church gave us the night we left. You remember that? You guys remember that? And we were alone, and it was lonely, and it was, this is new, and we pulled out that book, and we started looking at the pictures, and looking at what people wrote, and the love of the people from this church. Pulled out the letter Brother Gardner wrote me, when he gave me that pocket knife. And all the love from this church and that you gave us, that kept us going those first couple of days there in France. And I want to say tonight that it is not easy for anyone who may feel like the Lord may be calling to missions. It is not easy. It's not easy at the airport. And it's not easy. But all of us will have to be asked to surrender our possessions or a portion. Some of us, if the world is going to be reached, some of us are going to have to surrender the ties of home and family. That's what it's going to take. And I want you to see, lastly, tonight, that Jesus called them, and I love this, to follow Him. I love that. Look at verse 19, where is it? Verse 19, He saith unto them, follow Me. Follow Me. I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. All of this, folks, becomes easy. If all it is about the people, we're going to get sick of the people. If all it is about, got to give a faith promise card, we're going to get sick of the missions program. If all it is about Pastor Angel and what they're going to church, we're going to stay home. But if it's about Him, then it takes the burden away. Look at Matthew chapter 19. In verse number 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, and what are the next words there? For my name's sake. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. You know, no one likes a leader who says, go and attack, you know, this thing in the battlefield. They like a leader who says, follow me. He's leading the way, isn't he? He's leading the way. By the way, it's a love issue. Peter went back to the nets, didn't he? Went back to the ship, didn't he? And when Jesus came after him again, what did he ask Simon Peter? He said, lovest thou me more than these? You see, it's a love issue. It's where our love is. It's where our love is tonight. I'll just end with a couple of stories here and be done. Every year on Thanksgiving, we usually get together with other missionaries, not necessarily Baptist missionaries, but other Americans and so forth in our area. A lot of times we'll have a Thanksgiving dinner together, and we'll do all of that, and we'll eat, and we'll have the turkey. Well, we don't get turkey, but we'll have a Thanksgiving dinner. And then we, on that Friday, always after Thanksgiving, we'll always make a big deal out of that Friday, and we'll always set up the Christmas tree and all the decorations. And we bought some more things this year just for that day and to make it a big day. And the kids love it, and we'll put all the things up, and we'll sing some Christmas carols, and then we'll put the kids to bed. We'll put on the Christmas music. And I know Mrs. McCaslin and Mrs. Mrs. Pearson. I know Gina and them know this, and that's the toughest time of year. And we'll put all that stuff up, and we'll try to make it Christmas, and then we'll sit down when the kids go to bed, and usually we'll we'll just bawl for a while, you know, and that's the way it is. And, you know, but it's always at these moments that God reminds us that He is not asking us to do anything that He has not already done. What's the whole reason for Christmas, folks? It's about the Son who left the Father. Why? Not willing that any should perish. And He also reminds us at those times that He is not asking us to go anywhere where He is not already. What are the words? And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. and He's there. And He will never ask us to do anything that He has already done or go anywhere where He is not already and with us at those times. And can I say this? He is worthy. He is. He's worthy to leave. He's worthy to give. He's worthy of every. He is worthy of us coming to Him and saying, my finances, my life, everything is in your hands. What do you want me to do? And you know what? Like, Dad never knew. Dad never knew. Dad turning his life to the mission field. It is very obvious that God didn't want him in the mission field. He wanted him here, isn't it? But he surrendered. And God didn't send him somewhere where he wasn't supposed to be. And God won't send you somewhere to where you're not supposed to be. And God won't ask you and I to give more than what He knows He's willing to supply. And He's worthy of it. And can I say this? Those men, what they gave up, or the nets and all that, was it a terrible sacrifice and under a cloud to get to walk with Jesus for 3.5 years? To get to see what they saw? Sit on the sermon? Sit on the mount when He gave the sermon on the mount? Be there at Lazarus' tomb? Be on the Mount of Transfiguration? Was that just a burden that they couldn't bear? No, it was a joy. It was a joy. And it is a joy to get to do what we get to do. And I'll close with this story. I told a portion of this in high school this morning. We got to Madagascar. We started that French Bible study. We got up to 20, and then everyone left. I don't know what happened. I don't know if they didn't want to come to the Malagasy services. I'm not sure what happened, so we started over again. And my friend and I, Richard Gerber, they're on the coast of Madagascar now. We went out together while he was in the capital, and we got about 7,000 tracts and invitations. And there are textile factories all in our area. People make clothes, Columbia, Dockers, Levi's, Izod, Gap, all that you can imagine. And so we were going to go hit a textile factory. We went to this place, and it was this great, big, long building. And 5,000 plus workers in that place. And the siren sounded, and 5,000 workers came out, man. And we were just passing those things out as fast as we could and passing out tracks. And then we went to the little factory next to there where they did the buttons. And where they do the buttons for the clothes. And we passed out tracks to them. And just as we were leaving, we just turned around. There was a few people sitting there outside the factory waiting for something. I don't know. And so we just passed out a few of those invitations to them. Didn't go there for them. Went there for the people at the factories when we went home. That Sunday, a man came up the steps to our Bible study. That was a big deal because we had like no one coming. So that was a blessing to have someone come up those steps on Sunday morning. And he came. The next Sunday, he brought his wife and his three kids. One of his little boys has a hard time hearing. I don't think it's anything money couldn't fix, but they don't have the medical care there. His little boy who couldn't hear anything, and he's getting better. And so he came. But the Finn and Mrs. Finn were there at that time, and he preached Sunday morning to that little crowd of people. And he asked at the end, how many of you don't know for sure if he died, you go to heaven? And that man I was watching, he raised his hand. And it's the first time you ever heard anybody ask that question. So he raised his hand. So that week, I made an appointment to go see him. And so I took my motorcycle all the way down to the edge of town where I couldn't go any further. And then I parked it there. And then I walked down a little dirt road that went out just a little ways from the textile factory out in the rice paddies. And then when that road ended, they have these little mounds of, they make little roads out of just earth there in between the rice paddies, and that's how you just walk through all those squares where they plant rice, and you don't fall in because of all the water and so forth. And so I walked down a little trail and got out there. It was a Saturday evening, and got out there, and no electricity, no water, no lights, of course. It was getting dark, and the mosquitoes were coming out, and sat in that home. And asked him about salvation. And he didn't know for sure he was saved, him and his wife. And by a candlelight, I took this Bible right here, this very one that I'm holding that's on the display table, and I took him down to Romans chapter 3, verse number 10, and verse number 23, and 6:23, just like Brother Mike and my dad used to do, and Brother Don and Brother Jeff, these guys went soul winning with, and taking those people down the Romans road by the candlelight, and I showed him how he could be saved. And we, him and his wife, we all three got down on that dirt floor that night. And they trusted Christ as their Savior. Kept having a Bible study there. Neighboring lady, she started coming. After I don't know how many, I about gave up on her one night. It clicked. And we got down on that same dirt floor with me and him and his wife and his oldest daughter who had gotten sick. And she got down on that dirt floor and she got saved as well. Another family started coming. They live near him. They are even poorer than he is. You cannot imagine the poverty and how they live. And all these six, I think five kids in that house. And the oldest boy, his name was Sasha. His name is Sasha. And he's not all there. He's just not all there. And he's mentally handicapped. But he's not retarded. He's just not all there. And you could see it. He's really a little short guy. He's 18 years old, but he's a little short guy. Very, very thin, undernourished, malnourished and everything. His teeth are just, you can just see the poverty. Just, you know, and he would come and he would just look at me, you know, and I would think, this guy isn't with me, you know, and I don't know what's going on. And the JW, the Jehovah's Witnesses, had been at his house. And they prey on those kind of people. They really do. He was all messed up. And one night, we were sitting there, going through salvation studies and discipleship with that, with all those people now. And Sasha, he said, I need to get saved. And once again, we kneeled down on that dirt floor, that little group growing, and that little guy, I don't know if he's going to live. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to him. But got down and in very simple, his simple way, asked Jesus Christ to save him. Can I tell you this, folks? It is a joy to be involved in missions. And that's missions here, and that's missions around the world. And so this week, when you consider your own life and you consider your finances, He's worthy. It's making a difference. And all He wants is us to say, I'm here for whatever you want from me. And He won't ask for anything more than what we're capable of. And we're going to have an eternal impact because of this week. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the missions conference. I love missions conference. I thank you for the missionaries and how they have come and turned their lives to missions. I thank you for these people. I pray you'd work in our hearts this week. Maybe some of us have surrendered, but we've taken back control. We went back to it. We know you're not going to ask us for anything more than what we can handle. And all you want is us to surrender to you. And I pray that this week we would do just that. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'll ask Dad to come and take the invitation, please.
That's a great challenge for our hearts tonight. The theme of this week, starting last Sunday through this Wednesday, and even again tonight, as we turn to 2 Corinthians 8, has been that we would first give ourselves. I thought it was a great point tonight. I mentioned this morning that I surrendered to the mission field when I was in Iowa, trying to discern the will of God. And talked at length with Ron Bragg, who was in Senegal, West Africa at that time. I guess I never said that before. And this afternoon he asked me, he said, Dad, you surrendered to the mission field? I said, yes, sure did. And then tonight, the message, he talked about how, you know, obviously it wasn't God's will to send me to Senegal. But it was God's will for me to surrender. And I think that's what God's been trying to say to us, maybe to some young people here. You're afraid. You're afraid that if you surrender, God's going to send you somewhere or ask you for something that you can't do. He is a loving Heavenly Father. He will not do that. But He does want you to surrender. Yes, our possessions, but more than that, us. That has been a recurring theme the last three services, not counting this morning. Don't be afraid. Give yourself to Him. First, everything else will fall in place. If you're even praying tonight about what God would have you to do financially, first give yourself to Him. That's what He wants, surrender.